started. This is actually going to be a fairly quick presentation. And some information that I think is pretty interesting, but it's not going to take the entire hour. After me, there's going to be a follow-on speaker. So we'll go ahead and get started. My talk today is on NTFS alternate data streams, and it's a good follow-on to the previous talk. My name is Harlan Carvey, and that's my email address up there. If anybody has any questions or has any thoughts after this, they want to get in touch with me. Okay, technical difficulty here. Okay, just one moment. All right, there seems to be a little bit of difficulty with my presentation, but that's perfectly all right. I can go through this and present the information to you. Basically, what alternate data streams are is I guess Microsoft would call it a feature. But I'm not here to bash Microsoft. I'm just here to present a little bit of information to you. When a file is created in the NTFS file system, it has a series of attributes. It has about a dozen or more attributes. One of those attributes is the name of the primary stream. The NTFS file system allows for multiple streams for each of the files, and this is built in for compatibility with the Microsoft Hierarchical File System, or HFS. The Macintosh HFS uses multiple streams to store information about the files. So NTFS, with the Macintosh File and Print Services especially, needs to have some support for this capability. Now, what this allows people to do is to create additional streams to the files on the file system. And interestingly enough, Microsoft initially didn't put out a whole lot of information about NTFS alternate data streams, or the ADSs. I started working with NT and NTFS in 3.51, I believe, and there was very, very little information out. There has been a surge of information to hit the internet in the past year or so. In fact, there's a knowledge base article on the subject with a little bit of C code in there that shows you how to create an alternate data stream that's dated November 2000. So it's fairly recent. There has been a little bit of information to come out over the past 6 months or so. This isn't working. I'm going to go ahead and keep talking, but give this to the old... there we go. See if we can get this thing up and running. Okay, the way you go about creating an alternate file stream, you can do it programmatically by using C or any of the various scripting languages, or you can do it by hand. All you need to do is prepend the alternate data stream file name with a colon. So if you go into a directory, say just on the root of your C drive, and you create a file called test.txt, you can add as much information to that as you want, and it's a text file, and it's treated as a text file. However, you can go to the C prompt and use various commands like notepad, echo, type, to create your alternate data stream, and you would refer to that alternate data stream as test.txt colon followed by whatever name you want to use, and for the sake of an example, I would say hidden.txt. So all you have to do is add the colon, and you've created an alternate data stream. Just one second, I'll try to get this back up. Excuse me? No, that's fine. If this doesn't work, I'll just go through it. Okay, we'll just walk through this really quick again. It's going to look for a DHCP server, so it's going to take a minute or two. So we can go through and we can create these alternate data streams. One thing the Microsoft Knowledge Base article does not point out is that you do not have to have an existing file name to create an alternate data stream. You can create an alternate data stream and bind that alternate data stream to the directory listing simply by creating a file, again, either using echo and redirection, using Notepad, for instance, and simply call that file colon hidden.txt. These are a little more, seditious, a little more difficult to detect. But again, Microsoft does not provide the necessary tools to show you that you have alternate data streams existing on your file system. You have to actually go to third-party tools. So, interestingly enough, they provide the file system. They provide a little bit of information about alternate data streams, but they don't provide any tools for locating these alternate data streams. Okay. Wish me luck. See if just skipping past the first one helps. All right. Again, we'll just go through this pretty quickly. We've covered some of this information already. Okay. Feature or something else. Again, here's the Microsoft Knowledge Base article for anybody who wants to go out and take a quick look at it and reference it. Like I said, it provides some C code. It uses the create file API call, and all the only difference between a normal bit of C code to create a file is the fact that it's got a colon before the name of the alternate data stream. Again, Microsoft did not go to great lengths to publicize this as a feature, so a lot of NT administrators aren't aware of it. That's not too surprising. Not trying to say anything bad about NT administrators, but the information just isn't out there. Microsoft, again, does not provide tools to detect alternate data streams. Okay, now I'll go back over the information about creating alternate data streams. Going through some of the presentations, I've seen where people have opened their command prompts and whatnot to provide some information. Since it's not too clear from the back, what I've done is I've cleared it up into a slide. I've got a directory here called DEFCON on my C drive, and I use Notepad to create the test.txt file. I can go ahead and put a lot of information in that file. Then I use echo to add this is an ADS into the test.txt colon hidden.txt file. And then I can open that file using Notepad. Interestingly enough, I can bind it to the directory listing. The properties and the ACLs of the primary stream apply to the alternate data stream. So if a particular user does not have access to the primary stream, in this case, test.txt, if the user doesn't have access to it, he can't access or create the alternate data stream. Now, a little bit of interesting information is that you can put an executable into an alternate data stream. You can copy it in there using the type command if you want. All sorts of neat little things can be copied into alternate data streams. Again, it does not show up using the DIR command. It doesn't show up using Windows Explorer. The tools just aren't available. The use of the start command was actually first pointed out where I saw it was in the book Hacking Exposed in the first volume. This was put out by the company Foundstone. But about the time that the first book came out, I think they were still referred to as Rampart Security. For those of you at Black Hat, you probably saw the Foundstone guys walking around. This is how you would go about copying an alternate data stream or an executable into an alternate data stream. Just for the sake of example, I'm copying Notepad into an alternate data stream called np.exe, and I use the start command to go ahead and launch what is Notepad, basically. Something I found out through trial and error, and it's not really too surprising, is that you can use scripting languages to hide programs or scripts in alternate data streams. Basically, the Perl interpreter on Win32 systems will go ahead and open up the alternate data stream. It just sees it as another file, and it just goes through and parses the information and runs the program. This is particularly useful if somebody's running, say, Apache or IIS, and they've got Perl installed on the system. Okay, detecting alternate data streams. Again, Microsoft does not provide the means, but there are some tools that are out there. One that I find particularly useful is LADS. by Frank Hein. He's got a website in Germany, in Heysoft, Heysoft, H-E-Y-S-O-F-T.de. He provides a couple of nice little tools. I prefer to use his tool because it's a command line tool and it's very, very useful for incident response. Any of you familiar with incident response on a Linux system, there's a lot of tricks that you can use to get information off the system, pipe it out through Netcat into a Netcat listener on another system. That's why I prefer to use the command line tools. S-Fine by J.D. Glazer of Foundstone. It's a very, very useful tool. It's also a command line tool. Dave Roth, who's well known in the Perl community, especially on Win32 systems, in his most recent book has a script he calls streams.pl. A little bit of updating allows it to not only check the existence of alternate data streams on files, but it also allows to check the existence of alternate data streams that are associated with the directory listing. Finally, there's a company called Crucial Security out of Fairfax, Virginia. They've got a nice little GUI tool. It's called Crucial ADS. Unfortunately, it doesn't allow you to drill down to a directory. It just gives you the drive that you can check, and you kind of have to wait for the utility to go through and collect all that information. And it doesn't give you a capability to save or port the information that it does find off onto another system. But it does work. It does work fairly well. Admins should include alternate data stream detection tools, especially if they're going to be involved in incident response investigations. As a security administrator, you'd want to have this the tool of your choice, or actually multiple tools on a CD that you can use. Removing an alternate data stream. How do we remove an alternate data stream if we detect one? Well, first of all, you can delete the primary stream. Like I said, all the properties and ACLs that are associated with the primary stream also apply to the file. So if you delete the primary stream, the ADSs are gone as well. You can use the copy command, which comes with Windows NT and Windows 2000. It's not POSIX compliant, as cp.exe is from the resource kit, so it will not copy the alternate data streams. And then you can copy the primary stream to a non-NTFS file system and back, as you would with FTP. You can copy it off onto, or FTP it off onto a Unix system, a Linux system, someplace else, and then bring it back. And that'll delete the alternate data streams. Yes, question?
Does the size of the alternate data stream reflected in the DIR size?
The question was, is the size of the alternate data stream reflected in DIR? And no, DIR does not detect the alternate data stream. So you could copy, literally, you could write a recursive routine that would copy, say, a 600K file over and over into alternate data streams, and it wouldn't show. Exactly, yeah. I've seen the look on your face, and that's what I first thought, too. This slide was initially referred to as uses of alternate data streams, but I couldn't come up with a really legitimate use. You know, what would I do with an alternate data stream? You could use it to write licensing information rather than using the registry, but you know, some poor NT admin out there is going to see this alternate data stream, and he's going to just go nuts. You know, what is this? Is this guy, you know, did he give me a hacking tool or a Trojan instead of a legitimate administration tool? So, actually, a young man by the name of, I think his name is Benny, from the group 29A, is responsible for a nice little virus called win2k.stream that makes use of the alternate data streams. This virus has got a definition up on Panda Security, F-Secure, and a couple others. I'm going to assume that because they have it in their encyclopedia, that these antivirus tools will actually go into alternate data streams and open and look at files there. Again, that's an assumption. I'm not going to, you know, go out and beg and borrow for, you know, full copies of the antivirus tools just to test this out. Again, the example of filling the hard drive. And for those of you who went to Black Hat, who was here at Black Hat, okay, great. One of the very first presentations at Black Hat was given by Jose over here from Crime Labs, the use of Internet Worms. So that got me thinking, how would alternate data streams apply to Internet Worms? Well, we've already got a virus that uses alternate data streams. So how long is it going to be before somebody creates a worm specific to the Win32 systems, goes after Win2K systems much in the same manner that the Sadmin IIS worm did, and it actually does something a little more than just deface web pages. You can put executables, you can put scripts, you can put all sorts of configuration information into these alternate data streams. So they would be very, very, very useful for such activities. Okay, Again, like I said, it's a very, very short presentation. Yes? The question again is, if an executable is launched from an alternate data stream, does it show up in the task manager? From the limited amount of testing I've done, yes, it does. But, again, executables can be written. The Microsoft API is, some will say, not very well documented, but it's pretty prolific. There's a couple of API calls that you can use that will not, well, will cause the executable to not appear in the task manager. It will still appear if you use PSList or PUList from the resource kit, but it will not appear in the task manager. Yes, right here. The question was, is there any way to block users from writing to the alternate data streams? And the answer is yes, because, again, the access control list that you apply to the primary stream of the file also applies to the alternate data stream. So if you say users cannot write or create files in a certain directory or cannot modify certain files, they will not be able to write to the alternate data streams. Yes? For those of you that didn't hear it, the question was, can you turn off alternate data streams on an NTFS volume? No. I would not recommend going back to FAT. We had a question right here. Was the first hand up? And again? I'm not catching the last part of that question. Oh, how does ADS affect the quota? Well, again, the DIR command, Windows Explorer, don't find alternate data streams, and they don't account for alternate data streams. So unless the quota system uses the backup seek and the backup read API calls, and the only utilities I know of that use those API calls so far, other than the tools that I presented, are backup utilities. So I would say no. Say again? Okay, what's the full question? Oh, it does. Okay, the response from the back was quotas do apply to alternate data streams. Okay. Anything else? Okay. The statement from up front was that an article that was recently published says that antivirus utilities do not scan alternate data streams. And like I said, I saw that the encyclopedia definition for this particular virus on at least three antivirus websites. Again, I'm making the assumption. I'm not saying that they do detect alternate data streams and examine alternate data streams. I'm simply saying that the definition of the virus is actually there. Okay, anything else? Yes, right in front. Okay, the question was, if you do a copy from one NTFS permission or partition to another, will it delete the alternate data streams or not? If you use the copy command, copy.exe, on the system, whether it's NT or Windows 2000, it will not copy the alternate data stream. However, if you use the POSIX compliant utility, cp.exe, which comes with the resource kit and is also available from some of the kits that have Unix tools for NT, those will copy alternate data streams. What's that? I haven't tried XCopy. I'll leave that to the reader. Jose? Jose asked, how many streams can you have? I got bored after 20, 25. Yeah. You just keep naming them something else. You put a colon, you put another name. I just wrote a little quick script that goes through and just increases the number incrementally. Okay. Yeah, I get to 25 or 30. I just got bored. So, sorry. Right next to him. The question was, are the streams saved dependent to the file or someplace else on the file system? The way, when you create a file, generally speaking, in most file systems, you know, you have certain attributes to the file. One of the attributes to the primary stream of the file is a pointer to the alternate data stream. So it's either a pointer, and I'm not going to get into a discussion on resident, non-resident, you know, to the MFP. That's a little more technical. But the point is, it's associated with a file. So if you delete the primary stream, the alternate data streams go with it. Right there. Okay, the statement was that most of the antivirus utilities will not detect an alternate data stream, but if you do open it, then they will scan it, but then you have to know it's there. Okay, right. Any other questions? Right here up front. Well, the question was, is there any reason Microsoft put it in there? And again, it's for compatibility with the Macintosh hierarchical file system. Because the Macintosh hierarchical file system, or HFS, uses multiple streams to store information about a file. And it's needed for compatibility. Okay, we got a hot one up front here. The current rumor is, and you heard it right here, is that Microsoft is actually using alternate data streams to hide privacy information. Uh-oh. What was your name? Say again?
Keith.
Okay, that was from Keith. Yeah, right there. The question was, if they're so easily found, is there any legitimacy to the rumor? I don't know. I haven't found them on my system yet. Right here. The question was, how do defragmentation utilities react to ADS? I haven't had any problem with them yet. I've used Diskkeeper Lite that I downloaded from the website. I haven't tried it on the Windows 2000 version of Diskkeeper that ships with it. Okay, it's going to be a little more testing. You know, maybe make. But again, I haven't gone with really huge files either. I haven't tried a multi-megabit file. I've just used little files, a couple of bytes. That's it. Yes, right here. The question was the move command, and no, the move command does not detect the alternate data streams. Well, the question was, does the move command affect the alternate data stream? Well, let's see. Hey, it works. Okay. Let's give it a shot. Yeah, bear with me. I've got one of these little nipple mice on my keyboard. Okay, can everybody see that? Is that clear enough? I'll move it down a little bit. Okay. Okay, here we have a directory listing. I've got some of the tools. Laz is right there. Okay. In one particular case, I've got four alternate data streams appended to one file and one that's appended to the directory listing. So let's go ahead and try the move command. What was that? Oh, yeah. There you go. Yeah, that's a good one. Try to find a nice little directory to put this in. Okay, we've got one file moved. Okay, I ran LADS against the root of the C drive, and I already had some neat stuff hidden there, and it ran through all the subdirectories, and I'm looking. Yep, move worked. As you can see, let me move the mouse around. Move actually, here we have, I moved the file called test.txt. Okay, you can see that at the top of the DOS prompts, and where I ran LADS, down at the bottom of the listing, you can see four listings for test.txt and their alternate data streams. So move does work. Sorry, I only have one partition. I can't try different partitions, but that's something to definitely give it a shot. Go ahead. Just speak up.
Drag and drop.
I haven't tried that. I haven't tried that, but that's definitely something to give it a shot. Way in the back. Say again. The question is there a way to globally disable all Synth data streams? And again, no. That question was asked a little bit earlier. If you use an NTFS, you could try using ACLs on your files and directories. But as everybody knows that uses Microsoft Office, for example, Microsoft Office does need to write to, I believe, the temp directory. So you have to leave some places open for the user to write to. So, yeah, right here in front. Sure. Yeah, it's a little bit risky, but we'll try it. Everybody cross their fingers. Yes, the question was, will this presentation be available on the web? And what I will do is I will put the slides up on the web, and I will contact the folks at DEF CON and have them see if they will link it. Otherwise, you can feel free to send me an email at my email address, and I'll go back to that again. Okay, here's is this what you're looking for? Next one? Next one again. That one? That one. That one? Okay. The other question was right here. EFS. No, actually, I had a slide that I was just going to... I took it out. I have not tried EFS. So if anybody wants to try EFS, let me know. Let me know what happens. We had another question up front here. The question is, when you associate an alternate file stream with a directory listing, instead of an alternate data stream being associated with a particular file, okay, it's not associated with test.txt. It's actually associated with /defcon or /. It's associated with the directory. So if you go through a directory listing, programmatically, don't drop out dot and dot dot. Make sure you check those two as well, using backup seek and backup read API calls. Because I did a little bit of talking to Frank Hine when I was updating Dave Roth's Perl script, and you basically have to use the same API calls on the directory listings as you do files. Right here. No. The question was, is there a way to track which user created the data stream? No, there's not. Because if the file is created by a different user, or by the system, and the permissions allow the creation of alternate data streams, there's no tracking of the alternate data stream. Yes? The question was, does the alternate data stream modify the file dates and times? No. Oh, the question was, do some of the ADS detection tools work over network shares? Yes, they do. Yes, they do. On NT or even 95 or 2000, you can have a share mounted, and it's just another device. Well, it's not really just another device, but it'll work the same way. Right here. The question was, to create alternate data streams on a file, will you need write permissions on the file or the directory? Well, it really depends on the combination that you have, because if you have bypass traverse checking and you have it on the file but not the directory, you can do it on the file. But if you have your ACL set up in a manner such that you can't create files to the directory and it's inherited all the way down to the files within the directory as well, then no, you cannot create the alternate data streams. Again, it depends on the combination of the ACLs as well as the writes. That's what I'm thinking of. The question is, if you have change on the file or create on the, and not create on the directory, that would seem to me that you won't be able to create it, because you're not changing the file. You're adding an alternate data stream, and you're actually writing to the directory. We had a question in the back right here. The question was, if a file has read-only attributes, can you create an alternate data stream? Now, do you mean read-only ACLs? Then you would be able to create an alternate data stream. Then you would be able. In that case, if it's an attribute of the file, like read-only, archive, that type of thing, then you would be able to create an alternate data stream. If the ACL, however, says that you only have read-only access to that file, then you would not be able to create an alternate data stream. Right here. The question was, providing an executable to the directory listing, what you do is, the answer to that is right up here. Just take off test.txt. Just take it off. Leave the colon. Say again? No, copy does not work. You can use type, echo. We found that you can move them with move. What are some other good ones? CP from the resource kit. What's that? Say again? The question was, have I tried concatenating multiple alternate data streams? So you're saying, like our example up here, I would have test.txt colon notepad.exe and then colon something else? No, I have not tried that. Boy, this is a tricky crowd. Watch this guy for the next 132 worm right over here. Right here. Say again? Okay, I'm going to back up a few slides. Say when. That one, okay. We had another question right here in the front, I think. TTT, was it you? Okay. You're going to have to speak up. I can't hear you. The question was, can you have two different files in a directory with the same, with an altered data stream of the same name? Yes, you can. Yes, you can. Let's see. Wait till he's done with this one. Just put your hand up when you're done, and I'll go back to the slide that you want. Wait, right there. Okay. Hold on, just 1 second. Is that the one you wanted? Right here? Oh, np.exe, okay. Right here? Okay, now say you had a question about type and echo. What was that again? Right. Right. Are you asking if I've had a problem with that? No, I haven't, because it's not so much that we're using pipe and echo as it is the redirection operator. Because pipe would just spit it out to the screen. And the redirection operator puts it right into the alternate data stream very nicely. Correct. I found that it puts the whole file in. Notepad's a great example. If you try this on your system, it'll open up Notepad, and you can go ahead and use it and save files and whatnot. Right here. The question was, does the example really work? Yes. I left out the... okay, I apologize. I left out the primary stream. So on that one, just add test.txt colon to the beginning of it. Yeah, very good, very good. Yes. The question was, have I tried appending a file, an ADS to a file that's in use, like explore.exe? No, I haven't. I haven't tried that. That's a very, very good idea. Okay, gentleman up front says it fails. And I haven't tried it yet. But okay, we've got a concurrence over here. Do we have a third? No, okay. I guess then the answer is it fails. What was the question? The question again was, can you append an alternate data stream to a file that's currently open, like Explorer? You know, your shell is one example, or if you've got one of the service.exe files, if it's currently running, can you append an alternate data stream to it? And the gentleman up here said no, and testing over here stated no. Yes? That's correct. A system or a file that's always in use by the system or already in use by the system, if it has an alternate data stream, yeah. Yeah, you're exactly right. Anything else? No, it couldn't be modified either. Well, we had another gentleman that wanted to talk, so if there's, are there any other questions? Let me go to the end here. Put my email address back up. There you go. If you have any questions at all, go ahead and email me. I'm more than happy to, if I don't know the answer, I'll try it out. Or if somebody has some interesting little tidbits, don't email me if you actually create the first worm that uses alternate data streams. I'll catch it on Security Focus. All right, with that, there was a gentleman here that was going to talk about something else. Okay. I guess not. Thank you very much.